to a low-carbon energy future. For more details, visit airgrid.ie.
A charity says Gaza is turning into a graveyard for women and girls as a result of bearing the brunt of the Israel-Palestine conflict. The war in Gaza enters its 200th day, with around 70% of the people killed in the last 6.5 months being women and children. It's reported expectant mothers in Gaza are miscarrying late into pregnancies due to malnutrition, and periods are being managed using scrap and tent materials. Advocacy and communications coordinator at ActionAid Palestine, Riam Jafari, says women's health and hygiene is suffering in these conditions.
Each bathroom is shared by 650 persons, which is very huge, and women avoid drink or eat to avoid going to bathrooms, to avoid waiting for long hours. So for this reason, ceasefire is urgently needed.
However, the Taoiseach says a ceasefire seems a long way off as he concludes a two-day visit to the Middle East. Micheál Martin was welcomed at a girls' school at the Talaba camp, home to around 10,000 Palestinians. He's also met the Jordanian Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Minister Ayman Safadi earlier. Speaking in Amman this evening, Minister Martin said UN officials told him that an Israeli invasion of Rafah was now likely.
I'm pessimistic about the prospects of a ceasefire. The sense we have from the engagements I've had up since Monday is negative in respect of the early prospects of a ceasefire. I hope I'm wrong, and that's very bad news. And I'm also worried about the prospects of an Israeli invasion of Rafah.
The former DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson is back in court again next month, accused of historical sexual offences. The 61-year-old MP and his wife Eleanor appeared before a Newry Magistrates Court this morning. Andrew Louth reports.
Geoffrey Donaldson is accused of 11 offences, including one count of rape. His wife, 58-year-old Eleanor Donaldson, is charged with 4 offences, including aiding and abetting an offence. Both deny the charges. They both spoke in court only to confirm their names, their dates of birth, and to confirm they understood the charges before they were released on continuing bail.
Stand back. Stand back. Stand back.
Stand back. There was a large police and media presence in Newry this morning as Geoffrey Donaldson arrived around an hour before his case was heard. And after, more chaos ensued as he left the court to find the car picking him up wasn't ready before going back inside. He re-emerged a short time later. The case is back before Newry Magistrates Court again next month. Andrew Loud in Newry.
A Dublin MEP is calling for the introduction of a levy on fast fashion products. Barry Andrews' proposal comes after the European Parliament yesterday voted in favour of banning the import of goods made through forced labour. He would like Ireland to go further and place an additional charge on fast fashion clothes to discourage consumers from shopping at stores like Penny's, Temu and Shein. The Fianna Fáil MEP says cheap clothing brands can't be ethical.
If you look online, you'll see that you can buy a simple white cotton t-shirt for €5 on most of the online platforms, including Shein and Temu. Whereas it has been shown that if everybody in the supply chain is properly paid, it should cost something like €30.
And the owner of TikTok is widely expected to launch a legal action against the US over threats of a shutdown. The American government has voted through legislation giving the Chinese owners up to a year to sell. American authorities are afraid of spying clauses that are included in China's laws. Technology editor with the Irish Independent, Adrian Weckler, says Chinese authorities are furious.
It's complicated by the fact that ByteDance, this is the Chinese owner, remember, says it doesn't want to sell. And it's complicated even further by the fact that the Chinese government says that this whole thing is a geopolitical outrage and there's no way ByteDance should have to sell it. So there's a large dollop of geopolitical tensions going on here as well.
And that's your news for now. It's 4 minutes past 10. And in sports, starting with soccer, and Jurgen Klopp's first ever defeat at Goodison Park could prove fatal to Liverpool's Premier League title challenge. They remain 3 points off the top after tonight's 2-0 defeat to Everton. Manchester United twice had to come from behind before eventually sealing a 4-2 win at home to bottom side Sheffield United. Wolves were denied a potential equaliser by VAR. They fell to a 1-0 defeat at home to Bournemouth, in a side that finished with 10 men. And Newcastle's dwindling European hopes were dented still further with a 2-0 defeat at Crystal Palace. Derry City will face a partial stadium closure if events of Friday night are repeated in their next home game. Travelling Shamrock Rovers fans were pelted with projectiles from a group outside of the ground, the Ryan McBride Brandywell. Derry were given a suspended partial closure today, which will come into effect if similar incidents occur against Shelburne on Bank Holiday Monday. In swimming, Roisin Ní Riain claimed her second gold medal at the European Para Swimming Championships in Madeira this evening. She won her 100-metre backstroke S13 final, taking her medal tally for the week to 3. In Gaelic Games, Galway are through to the next week's final of the Airgrid Connacht Under-20 Football Championship. They deposed reigning champion Sligo with a 23-112 victory in Castlebar. Galway will play Roscommon in Friday week's final. And an injury time point from Ryan McNichol saw Derry beat Donegal 112-14 points and set up an Ulster Under-20 final with Tyrone. For their part, Tyrone were 2-9-14 point victors over Monaghan in Omagh. The final will be played at Armagh's Athletic Grounds next Wednesday. And that's your news and sport. It's now 6 minutes past 10.
The weather forecast.
Brought to you by Archers. Best value on leading electrical brands. We will not be beaten on price. Visit our Ballina store or call 096-350-11.
Mainly cloudy tonight with isolated showers mainly in the northwest. Lowest temperatures of 1 to 5 degrees and a few mist patches too with light variable breezes. And then tomorrow, Thursday, will be a mix of cloud and bright spells tomorrow with isolated showers in the morning, mainly in the west, the showers becoming more frequent and widespread through the day and merging into longer spells of rain for a time in the afternoon. Drier and brighter in the evening, a cooler day tomorrow with highest temperatures of 9 to 11 degrees in light northerly or variable breezes. And for a full 7-day forecast with all your latest weather warnings, you can visit met.ie.
Your weather.
Brought to you by Archers. Fully stocked garden centres in Ballina and Castlebar. Helping keep your garden looking fabulous. Archers, for all your garden needs. 096-35026.
March trade lights up. For more in your Irish Farmers Journal, is Paul Mooney.
We reveal what's driving cattle prices higher. Prices rocket for marginal ground in the west. Spring lamb prices heading for 10 euros per kilo. Farmers slam department support for Shannon Callow's flooding. Opposition intensifies in Mayo to French firm's forestry plans. Plus, as Stocker turned out, we have all you need to know about upgrading and replacing fencing in our farm infrastructure focus.
All inside the Irish Farmers Journal. You cannot afford to miss it.
Colerans Pharmacy Ballyhonus in Charlestown stock the leading brands of veterinary medicines and instruments. Ivermec, Flucovar, Trodax, Clasmectin, injections, drenches, vaccines, porons, bucket licks. Paddy and Tom Colerans serving the Western Farm since 1931.
Have you heard of De Facto shaving oil? De Facto is used instead of foams or gels. It's simple to use, better for your skin and your pocket, and you're guaranteed the closest, smoothest shave ever with no waste and no mess. And unlike cans of foams or gels, all our packaging can be recycled. Switch to De Facto today and experience the difference. De Facto, made in Mayo and sold throughout the world. Check our special offer at defactoshave.com.
When it comes to electrical waste recycling, we're pretty good with the big items like ovens, washing machines and freezers. But what about that old broken kettle or Hoover? They get stashed away alongside that bread maker at the back of the cupboard. The good news, you can recycle anything with a plug, battery or cable for free. And it couldn't be easier. For a list of drop-off points and participating retailers, just go to mywaste.ie. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
Farming Matters on Midwest Radio with Arda Agri Services. Now stocking a full range of MaxFlow high-pressure power washers. Available with PTO drive or Honda engines. A full range of power washer accessories and products also available. Call 096-72803.
Welcome to Farming Matters. Coming up on tonight's show, we're talking farm plastics recycling with Vincent Kearney of VK Recycling. Farm renewables with Stephen Robb of the Farmers Journal. He'll be on to tell us about the renewables roadshow in Athlone next week. And the new €8 per yo sheep welfare scheme. Tom Kelly of Chagas has all the details on the measures and how to get involved in the scheme. All this plus the latest farming news, your questions answered along the way, and a MART report as well thrown in. A very good night, folks, and welcome to Farming Matters with me, Declan Maron. bringing you the latest farming news, views and opinions from Irish agriculture every Wednesday night here on Midwest Radio. If you'd like to get in contact with the programme tonight, you can give us a call on 0818 3055, or you can send us a text or a WhatsApp to 087 900 41 41, and that's with thanks to Connolly's Pub and Restaurant, 121 West 45th Street, New York City. A 60-second walk from Times Square, voted best Irish breakfast in New York City and number one for live music every weekend. Well, what a difference a week makes. Sunshine has finally arrived and stock are getting out to grass after a very long winter period. It's amazing how much drying ground can do in a few days. I was walking land last Saturday and it was really wet, and the same ground over the last day or so is nearly unrecognisable and finally trafficable for stock and for tractor work to get into full swing. And speaking of land, Chagas and the Society of Chartered Surveyors of Ireland published their annual agricultural land review and outlook for 2024 today. So this is a report that presents land prices across the country and trends from one year to the next. And just in terms of prices, the average value of non-residential agricultural land across the country for 2023 was €9,297 per acre, which is an 11% increase on 2022 levels. The national average value for good quality land, so they divide this survey up into good quality and poor quality land, and there's no in between, so you have to kind of go roll with the averages on this one. So good quality land on average last year was €12,308 an acre, which was up 10% on 2022 figures. And then the national average poor quality land reported at €6,286 per acre, which was up 13% on 2022. So poor quality land up a slight bit more than the good quality land, and that could be to do with the way cap payments are going and redistribution of entitlements from higher value entitlements to lower value entitlements, which is seeing cap money move from east to west, from what we'll call, just for generalisation purposes, from the good land in the east to poorer quality land in the west. Additionally, the report suggests that farmland values are forecast to rise by a further 6% on average in 2024. The most expensive land for 2023 was in Waterford, where good quality land was making €20,000 per acre on average, while Mayo recorded the lowest value for farmland in 23 for poor quality land holdings over 100 acres. So this is just, say, larger tracts of land over 100 acres and was deemed as poor quality. The average price for them was €2,733 per acre. We'll take a look at plots under 50 acres just in a second. The number one main buyer type from respondents, which this is agents that all responded to this survey, so 69% of the respondents, it was for a dairy farmer, followed by tillage farmers accounting for 11%, and then 20% reported other as the main buyer type. So other is referred to many respondents such as investors or hobby farmers as well. So a total of 56% of respondents expect a moderate or significant demand from dairy farmers to buy land in 2024. But that 56% of respondents saying that dairy farmers are going to be active for land this year is down from 83% who said that the same thing for 2023. So a slight cooling maybe compared to 2023 levels. And then just looking at the map, an average price per acre of non-residential land of less than 50 acres in size. So in Mayo here, it was for good quality land, €10,850 per acre, and for poor quality land, as it's deemed in the survey, €3,833. In Galway, €9,330 for good quality and €5,333 for poor quality. In Roscommon, it's €9,200 for good quality and €4,330 for poor quality. And in Sligo, it was €9,325 for good quality land and €4,450 for poor quality land. So that's the survey from Chagas and the Chartered Surveyors of Ireland. We had a question in from last week on the nematodirus warning we spoke about, and so that's just the worm that affects lambs as they start to eat a lot of grass, and this worm hatches once we get to a certain temperature in the springtime. So it's most likely to affect lambs kind of from 6 weeks old onwards when they're starting to take in some grass. So it's around now that the warning time is. So the question was to do wondering what wormer should you use. So it was a white wormer. So that's a bendamazole wormer. That's your group of wormers. Will work fine for nematodirus. Even if you have resistance to that white wormer group on your farm for, say, other round worms later on in the season that will be causing issues, you can still, there's no signs of resistance of the nematodirus worms to the white wormer in any of the research that's been carried out. So it's still effective to be used as that first dose in the season for that reason. So that's on that one. Another question in then. Hi Declan, just wondering, is there a new knowledge transfer program starting this year? Thanks. So no is the short answer. Not if you're not already signed up to one. There's no news of any new one starting later this year. There is a new KT program running from 2024 to 2026, but you had to sign up last year. I think it was mid-September was the deadline for that one. So groups within that scheme are now meeting, and maybe you're hearing a bit of talk about it because they're still relatively new and meetings are just starting to take place, the first couple of meetings. So they are, those groups are now meeting with their advisors throughout this year. No word if that would be opened up again, say, at the back end of this year for next year. Something might be announced later in the year, although I would say it would be unlikely. But we'll keep you up to date if there is something announced later in the year. And just on schemes for sheep farmers again, we mentioned it last week, but our Chagas piece this week comes from Enda Gagan and Tom Kelly. And they have details of the measures and the actions involved in the recently announced €8 per yo sheep welfare scheme. So this is on top of the €12 per yo sheep improvement scheme that's already there. So just but one to be aware of. Listen in for that a little bit later on.
The Mayo Miners will be looking to make it two wins from two in the Connacht Championship this Friday night. The green and red travel to Tuam for a 6:45 throw-in. Midwest Radio a full live commentary of their clash with Galway. I'll be joined by John Stagg, and our coverage is with thanks to Moran's Pharmacy, New Antrim Street in Castlebar. For all your sports injury needs, call in to Ronan and the team.
Now on the line, I am joined by Vincent Kearney of VK Recycling. Vincent, you're very welcome to the programme tonight.
Yeah, Declan, thanks for having me now.
No problem at all. Vincent, it's hard to believe we're around to this time of year again. Some of the wraps you'll be collecting next week won't be long taking off bales, but you're kicking off again with the Bring Centres for Plastics next week.
Yeah, we're away in Headford starting next Tuesday now from 9 to 5 next Tuesday, so that's the start of the whole Connacht area, Connacht region, 32, I think, different sites for the season, so that's the start of it, a couple of tough months ahead. But yeah,
it's good stuff. Yeah. Vincent, people are well used to dealing with you over the last number of years, but you might just give us a rundown of the protocol and how people should bring in the stuff to you.
Yeah, the people, let's just say, really, with the numbers we're dealing with, I don't think there's too many left that doesn't know, but when people come in to our sites there, the first thing, that we have a weighbridge there and we weigh everybody, and there's different places and you go when you want to cross the bridge to put the black plastic, the wrap would be the most thing, biggest volume of stuff we'd be collecting. But mm-hmm. Now at this stage, most people have little bits of maybe a bit of knit or the string or a few fertilizer bags or the drums. They'll have a bit of everything with them, so, you know, just to clean out.
Yep.
But just about the fertilizer bags, you know, the small bags are fine, we take those, but with the half-ton bags, we say people should have the inside taken from the outside, and we take both, but just have them separated.
Okay.
You know how there's a little cable tie on the top of them when they're empty, that you have to take one from the others because they go different places. So
okay.
Some people, if they come in with those together, they'll have to either take them apart there and then or else
pull over to the side for a few minutes.
Yeah, and we don't want to be sending anybody home with anything. So just that people are aware of that, you know.
Great. Spray cans, then, do you take them as well?
Yeah, that's lines are rinsed out, triple rinsed, as we say. That they're, you know, that there's no trace of what was on the chemical that was in them, and you know, that they're rinsed out with water, and we take them. But we don't take oil drums or anything else, or you know, what you'd use for dosing animals or that, the MTs or those, or and it's just basically just the chemical drums. That's all we say for your rush spray or your. Any of those Martone or Martex or any of those, we take those, you know, as long as they're well rinsed out.
Good stuff. And as you said, you're wading in the way in, so it pays to have it clean and tidy and not bringing in soil and dirt and all the rest with it.
Yeah, especially as it has got a bit more expensive than other years, and you know, it's, you know, it means a lot if they, you know, if they have it clean, you know, you'll have it, you know, what's coming off, so it's not going to be, you know, that clean, but it's got at least, you know, stones or dirt or clay or anything, you know, some lads would load it with a loader and you'd pick up maybe half ton of clay along with the wrap in the trailer. So you're paying for that, so nobody wants to be charging or nobody wants to be paying for that, you know. It's just that, you know. But it's just that, and another thing, to have it well tied down when they come in. We do get a lot of complaints about being lost on the road, and even when you be coming home, from those evenings, you'd see bits here and bits there, and it's you know, you'd prefer if you didn't see that, you know, to tie it well down there, because it will blow us, that sort of material. Once you start traveling, it'll move on the trailer on you.
Yeah, definitely. Bale wraps then have to be separate from silage wraps, do they? From say your pit covers.
No, they can all go together. Yeah, okay. They're fine. They're going to the same place. It's just that other, the other stuff goes to different places, different recycling places.
Do you have a grab there? Is it handy to bring it in an open top trailer? Yeah. You can grab it off that rather than
an open top trailer. If you have a closed in trailer, there's not a lot we can do for you. Just give you a hand, maybe. Try and have as much help as we can on the ground there, but these sites are so busy that, you know, it's nearly a full-time job directing traffic and keeping everything safe and keep the thing moving rather than being able to help lads. You know, it was different one time, the numbers weren't as big, but the sites, you know, every site we do now is huge. Like, you're talking about 600 or 700 farmers coming in, you know, so it's huge. Like, you know, it's become a really big, like, it's something that farmers are waiting to do. Yeah. It's such one of those chores that you have to do, that farmers, it's one of those things they feel they do every year now, like anything else you do in farming, you know. That's the way it's gone.
Yeah, and I suppose they need it then in terms of Board B and that kind of stuff. They're looking for those receipts as well. So in terms of paperwork, is there anything that farmers need to bring with them, or do you supply all the paperwork they need?
If they have the invoice from... We need that number, that recycling number, is beyond their invoice that they received from, they'll either get it from their contractor or from where they purchased the wrap. It's a long number. All we need is the 6 digits, and then that'll be on their receipt, you know.
Okay.
But they need to bring that with them. But most farmers, they know that at this stage, you know, it's been, you know, it's something that, but it's just that... another thing there is, you know, most places we'd be, you get 2/3 of the people in before 1 o'clock, and that's the busiest time of the day. So, you know, people need to be patient if they're coming that time of the day, because there is always queues. Like, there's always queues up at 1 o'clock, you know, and those nearly every site we go to. So if people could come in the afternoon, they might get away that bit quicker. So it's up to themselves.
Yeah. It's not a 5-minute job. It's going to take a little while. So people just need to be patient on that one.
Sometimes the sites wouldn't be as much space as they'd like, and you might be only able to get 5 or 6 trailers back to the pile, and lad in on the digger is doing his best to take them off as quick as he can, but you have to be careful, and it's all about safety, you know. At the end of the day, so it takes time, and you have to be watch around and, you know, keep an eye on everything.
Good stuff. Yeah, I'll go through a few of the venues if people want to take a note of them. I'll just go through the first couple of weeks. I'll give a reminder every week then of the bring centres as they come up, just to remind people. But you're starting off no problem at all.
That'd be brilliant if you did, you know. It'd be brilliant,
We're starting in Headford, March. That's Tuesday, the 30th of April, and that's from 9 to 5. Then you're heading to Ballinrobe Racecourse on May the 2nd, which is Thursday, again 9 to 5. And you're there in St. Ballinrobe as well on the 3rd, the Friday, 9 to 5. Heading to Ball then on Tuesday, May the 5th, from 9 to 5.
The 7th.
May the 7th, sorry, yes. So yes. That's Ball, May the 7th, Tuesday, 9 to 5. Kilkelly at Gibbons Old Concrete Yard on May the 9th, which is Thursday. That's from 9 until 3 p.m, so that's just an earlier finish on that one. Ballinar Mart then on May the 10th, which is Friday, May the 10th from 9 to 5. And then you're heading for Eastski in Flannery's Yard on Monday, May the 13th from 9 till 12. And then in the afternoon on that Monday, May the 13th, you're in Screen at Eamon Burke's Stair Limited. That's from 2 to 4 p.m. And then Drumcliff, Seamus Waters Farm on May the 15th, Wednesday, 9 to 2. So that takes up the first couple of weeks, Vincent.
And just the next day, the next on that Friday, May the 17th, we're in Ballymote Mart then.
Ballymote.
On May the 17th, Friday, May the 17th from 9 to 5, yeah. So that takes the next sort of 3 weeks or 2 weeks, is it?
It is, yeah. Takes us well into it. As I said, I'll give a reminder next week again of the ones coming up, but...
Yeah, and if anyone wants to give me a call about when they want to know, because we have all the venues run out now, you know, at this stage, and you know, so we know exactly where we'll be from now until the 16th of July. That's the last day we're out in Mancross. So if anybody wants to give me a call, I'll be able to tell them exactly which site, which one is near them, or which one, you know, so if they want to know.
Perfect. And if you want to give your mobile there, Vincent.
Yeah, it's 086-8709-220. And if they let it ring, if I can't answer, it goes back to the office, and some of the girls in the office will give them any information they want to know.
Brilliant. That's 086-870-9220. Well, Vincent, thanks very much for joining us tonight, and best of luck over the next couple of months with those.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dr. Thank you.
Vincent Kearney there of VK Recycling. So as I said, we'll keep he reminded folks of those dates, because it's good to keep them in the mind and not miss them. So just a couple of questions in there. Treatment for pink eye infection in sheep, is it the same for humans? I don't know. I wouldn't like to prescribe anything for humans. I'd get on to a doctor for that one, I'm afraid. Another one then. Will there be help available at Knockranny Hotel for filling forms for BIS scheme this year, Joe? Thanks, Joe. Joe, I had a quick Google there, and I don't see anything coming up for Knockranny this year. I know they were there last year, but I think they did more days last year because it was a new cap, a new BIS scheme last year. I think they did a lot more of those roadshows and help events. There was one in Ballina, but unfortunately it's passed. It was the 11th of April. The only other one that I see coming up that's anyways near us at all in the West is in Drumshambo, in the DAFM offices there in Drumshambo, and that's on Tuesday next, the 30th of April, from 10 until 4:30. The rest of them are in other parts of the country completely. So hopefully that'll be of some use to you if you can get over there to Drumshambo. Another one, when are the top-up payments coming for organic, ANC and BPS? Well, I would say get on to your farm advisor there or planner, because you should have been got those at this stage. I think most of them are paid up to date at this stage. There must be an issue there if the money hasn't come through on that one, I would say. We'll just have a quick look at Mart Report from Ball. So we start for Tuesday, which was the final Tuesday sale, and it was a special sale of Continental weanlings. A strong weanlings got excellent buying, with a lot of farmers and shippers giving some great prices for the quality lots on show. Bulls were a sharper trade, with exporters anxious for cattle before numbers dry up. Bulls from 200 kilos up to 350 kilos averaged €3.44 per kilo, while bulls weighing between 350 kilos and 450 kilos averaged €3.37 per kilo. Heavier bulls over 450 kilos averaged €3.23 per kilo. So quality bulls were making between 350 to 450 per kilo, or in the region of €1,300 along with the weight. A strong Shirley bull born April 23 weighed 610 kilos and sold for €1,990, while another Belgian blue bull born April 23 weighed 380 kilos made €1,680 or €4.42 per kilo. And that was bought online for export, it says. The heifers were a good trade as well, especially for the fancy breeding types, and Enton Nice got a very good price. Lighter store heifers, 200 kilos to 350 kilos, averaged €3.33 per kilo. Heifers, 350 to 450 kilos, averaged 337 per kilo. And heifers, 450 kilos and above, averaged 338 per kilo. And a Limousin heifer born in May of 23 weighed 440 kilos, sold for €1,900 or 432 per kilo, while another Belgian Blue heifer, 385 kilos, made 1,820 or 473 per kilo. And then just looking back to last Saturday's sale from Baal, the 20th of April, again, there was a good sale of cattle on Saturday with over 300 of each heifers and bullocks and over 100 dry cows on offer. There was a good trade from farmers and additional bidders that were around the ring looking for forward stores for grass. Bullocks, 300 to 400 kilos, averaged 339 per kilo. Store bullocks, 400 to 500 kilos, averaged 333 per kilo. While heavier bullocks, over 500 kilos, averaged 313 per kilo. Quality heavy bullocks made between 1350 and 1650 along with their weight. A Limousin bullock born in June 2022 weighed 835 kilos and sold for €2,510, while another lighter Charlie weighing 340 kilos made 1490 or 438 per kilo. The heifers, as always, are selling well, and Enton Nice got a good price. There was just over 300 lots on offer. Lighter store heifers from 300 to 400 kilos averaged €3.15 per kilo. Heifers 400 to 500 kilos averaged 313 per kilo, while heavier stock 500 kilos and above averaged 309 per kilo. A red Limousin breeding heifer born June 2022 weighed 585 kilos and sold for 3,270 or 559 per kilo. She must have been a good one. A lighter Simmental heifer weighing 465 kilos made 1,860. In the dry cow ring then, numbers have increased again with just over 100 cows on offer. A heavy 995 kilo Limousin made 2,810. And in the Springers, a Belgian Blue cow with a Belgian Blue bull calf at foot sold for €3,040. Bookings as usual for next Saturday's end of month sale on the 27th of April was today, Wednesday, for the bullocks, heifers, cows. But you can also book tomorrow for weanlings, which now move back to a Saturday sale. So booking tomorrow, Thursday the 25th, and you can give them a call on 0818 301 401 for that one. Stay with us. Coming up after the break, we'll be joined by Stephen Robb of the Farmers Journal.
Farming Matters with Arda Agri Services, where you can find a full range of feeding equipment, diet feeders, straw blowers, bale shears, bale splitters, shear grabs, bale handlers and class telehandlers. Call 096-72803.
March trade lights up. For more in your Irish Farmers Journal, is Paul Mooney.
We reveal what's driving cattle prices higher. Prices rocket for marginal ground in the West. Spring lamb prices heading for €10 per kilo. Farmers slam department support for Shannoncallow's flooding. Opposition intensifies in Mayo to French firms' forestry plans. Plus, as stock are turned out, we have all you need to know about upgrading and replacing fencing in our farm infrastructure focus.
All inside the Irish Farmers Journal. You cannot afford to miss it.
McHale Farm Machinery, Kilmaine and Athenry are your leading suppliers in the West for the Massey Ferguson tractor range. Massey Ferguson are renowned for their durability, warranty, efficiency, reliability and productivity. Heavy-duty tractors that are genuinely affordable and keep your running costs to a minimum. McHale Farm Machinery have highly trained technicians with the most up-to-date computerised diagnostic equipment to deliver fast and efficient servicing and repairs on all Massey Ferguson tractors. Call McHale Farm Machinery today on 093 33326 or view mchalefm.ie.
GrowLime from Mortimer Quarries, the revolutionary solution that will transform your soil and maximise your yields. With its advanced formula, GrowLime from Mortimer Quarries neutralises soil acidity, unlocking your soil's true potential, improves nutrient availability, ensuring your grass receives the vital minerals needed for healthy growth, and also promotes beneficial microbial activity, creating a thriving ecosystem beneath the surface. Don't settle for average yields when you can achieve greatness with GrowLime from Mortimer Quarries. Call Trevor now on 093 557 57.
What makes your farm tick? The animals. The tractor's engine. The machinery. And what makes your farm dangerous? When these become background noise and you don't notice the danger. Always beware of machinery on the farm. A message from the Health and Safety Authority and the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. Visit hsa.ie.
Farming Matters on Midwest Radio with Arda Agri Services. Now stocking a full range of MaxFlow high-pressure power washers. Available with PTO drive or Honda engines. A full range of power washer accessories and products also available. Call 096 72803.
And you're very welcome back to the show. Joining me now on the line is Stephen Robb, who is Renewables Editor with the Farmers Journal. Stephen, you're very welcome to the show.
Hey Declan, good to be here.
Stephen, a busy time of the year, not only professionally, but I know you're flat out trying to get great crops in the ground as well, but you decided just to make yourself a little bit busier and have a road show at the same time.
Yeah, certainly when I was planning this thing last year, I genuinely thought that a lot of our spring work would be done by this stage, but God, how wrong was I? But no, look, it's been great so far. So over the month of April, as you said, we're running a renewables roadshow. So we have travelled from Cork to Kilkenny, and we were in Coothill and Cavan last night, and we're going to Athlone next week, and we're talking about all things renewable, delving into the opportunities for farmers, for businesses, for homeowners in renewable energy production, how you can get involved, and I suppose what's the numbers behind it. So we're doing looking at a number of areas and doing case studies and showing real life examples of how renewables works.
This is a relatively new area for farmers to try and get their heads around. What's the demand like out there for it?
Look, we've been kind of blown away, to be honest, by the attendance at these roadshows so far. You know, we would have seen numbers of over 400, 450 and plus in Kilkenny even last night, for the pressure that's on farming at the moment. And yesterday was such a good farming day. There was over 350 people came along to it. It shows that there's real demand for information in this area. And as you said, there's a lot to know. And it is a new area. And we think that's why these events have been so well attended so far.
Definitely. I think, you know, people are maybe keen to look into these things, but it's knowing where to turn and who to go to for the advice, I suppose, is the issue at the moment, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, that's very true, and that was, you know, part of the thinking behind these roadshows, and indeed the topics that we chose. You know, that's where we believe that the real kind of immediate opportunities are for farmers. And throughout the night, you'd hear from industry experts, you know, from Chagas, Barry Kazan, or Sean Finan from the Irish Bioenergy Association, or a number of experts from A2E Sligo, for example, and from ourselves, obviously, in the Farmers Journal. So again, it's all kind of, you know, from trusted sources, trusted information, and really the idea is, as I said, is to give you, the farmer or the listener, the information to go off and make the decision for yourself as such whether or not, you know, investing in solar panels is right for you, or maybe switching to a biomass heating system would work on your farm, or even some of the bigger stuff like anaerobic digestion, where are the opportunities in that.
Yeah, so just maybe give us a rundown of what you're covering. Like the obvious one is the solar PV, you know, probably most likely investment for farmers. But what else are you covering on the nights?
Yeah, so each night we run through four kind of main areas, main topics across four sessions. So session one is getting paid for renewable heat. So there are a number of grant options available for farmers to switch from we'll say fossil fuels, so oil or diesel, to renewable sources, whether it's heat pumps or biomass, to produce heat. And mainly we're chatting about the large heat users here, like the pig and poultry sector. The support scheme for renewable heat, it's a €300 million scheme, and only €20 million has been drawn down, and that scheme is designed to pay farmers to make renewable heat for up to 15 years. So it's a really good scheme, and that's what, you know, that's kind of what session one is centered around. Session two is around solar PV, making sense of solar PV in your farm, and as you rightly said, Declan, this is where the real interest is, and that's really what was reflected by the questions and answers sessions from the farmers at the end. Solar PV is going to be the most widespread and widely adopted renewable technology on any farm, and that's because, well, for a number of reasons, but the generous grants that are there at the moment is a large part of that. So we get into all of that. We run through some real-life case studies as well, of how solar PV works on a dairy farm, how it works on a dry stock and tillage farm. They're real numbers, they're real-life examples provided by our partners, the IFA and Bord Gáis. And then session three, we kind of change tack a little bit, and we look at the farmhouse, and it's not just the farmhouse, it's any house really. And we look at the options that are available for retrofitting the house to improve the energy efficiency. There are a range of SEEI grants available in order to do this, depending on your house and depending on what you want to improve. But also, we in this session, we look at the vacant house grant as well, which has been really popular in rural Ireland, particularly among farmers maybe who would have a derelict property on their farm. And then session four, Declan, is anaerobic digestion. And this is really kind of looking to the future to a certain degree, to see what we're hearing an awful lot about anaerobic digestion at the moment. There are some really big targets in place for anaerobic digestion. So we delve into what anaerobic digestion actually is, what would the industry look like, and how farmers can get involved. We've got some interesting discussions in that session in particular, as you would imagine. But the way I describe it is that the anaerobic digestion sector is mobilizing. It's the chess pieces are moving on the chessboard to be ready to go whenever the appropriate supports are put in place. So it's a very busy night. There's a lot of information over the 2.5 hours, and look, that's the feedback that we're getting. Like, people are kind of being bombarded with the information, but mm-hmm. that's renewables, you know. There's, you have to know the figures, you have to know the technology behind it to make that decision, or at least know who to talk to about it. So but look, after the event is over, anyone who attends the events will get a copy of the slides, so they can study it up in their own time then.
Brilliant stuff. It sounds like an action-packed night. Just when you mentioned, so like solar PV is popular, and that's, as you said, largely thanks to the grants available there. Do we need more incentives for other renewable initiatives for them to really take flight?
Well, I suppose what with solar PV, the reason why it's so popular, there's a 60% grant there available, but there's also a planning exemption in place. There's a better defined grid connection process, although it's not without its own challenges. There's zero VAT, and probably above all else, really, is that it makes economic sense to do it. And we're seeing payback periods of 3 to 4 years or so, less in some cases. So the decision for solar is kind of easy. I guess whenever you get into the other areas, the other technologies for farmers, look, it does become a bit more complicated, and just increasing maybe the grant rate, you know, it might not be enough to incentivize farmers to make the switch, but it's a big part of it. You know, grants are a pivotal part of renewable energy production, whether it's large-scale wind farms or solar farms. You know, they're underpinned by a government support scheme, or whether it's the anaerobic digestion sector, that sector's not going to get off the ground without some kind of government support scheme in place. To answer your question, yeah, look, there's always more supports needed, so there is, but I guess there's other elements of the industry as well which need to be put into place to make it work, and solar PV is kind of the best example of the various measures you have to do to get a technology widely adopted.
When you mention solar farms, and these are the larger scale larger scale jobs, not just for individual farms. I know you have a story in tomorrow's paper. You might just talk us through that and what is kind of developments on solar farms.
Well, I suppose we throughout the roadshow, we do delve in a little bit into solar farms. It's becoming an increasingly common option for farmers, mostly in the form of leasing the land to solar developers. So a solar farm developer will seek to develop a large solar farm, you know, 200-400 acres in a particular area. They're not going out and buying the land. The economics doesn't make sense, and you won't find that amount of land to buy anyway. But instead, they're going to farmers and landowners and asking them to sign up to a long-term lease. And lease values are typically ranging from 11 to 1200 euro per acre for upwards of 30 to 40 years. I suppose we have a target of 8 gigawatt hours worth of solar PV development by 2030. You work that back, that could work out at around, you know, 30,000 to 40,000 acres worth of solar panel, solar farms. So if you look at what's in the pipeline, if you look at what's there at the moment and, you know, what's going through planning, solar PV might actually be one of the only climate action plan targets that we actually meet. So hitting that 30,000 to 40,000 acre target it's looking likely. So it is. Look, not everyone is behind solar, and not everyone is behind, you know, certain technologies in renewable, and that's what's covered in this week's Farmers Journal. A particular solar farm down in Tipperary, which has garnered a lot of public opposition, not just from locals but also from councillors and from TDs, and that's not exclusive to that particular project down in Tipperary. We've seen it in multiple other solar farms around the country. We've seen it in multiple wind farm projects. We've seen it in multiple anaerobic digestion projects.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at a lot of the objections in that particular case down in Tipperary, a lot of the issues were that there wasn't adequate public consultation. So in other words, the community didn't really know what was happening. And you can see whenever a developer gets the community engagement element wrong, whether it's for a solar farm AD plant or one farm, then you're going to have problems with the community, and that's what we're seeing here, and that's what we've seen elsewhere. And we actually touched on that in the Renewables Roadshow as well. So look, that's an important part of the day.
Definitely. Just on those solar farms, so that could be a group of four or five farmers coming together to get your 200 acres of land. Is it something for the west and northwest of Ireland, or do we need to follow where the sun shines in the east and southeast?
It is for the west and northwest. Maybe not like my northwest is more northwest. Northwest, I'm from Donegal, man. But yet there is a solar farm, large solar farm through planning up here, and more in development. There are projects in early stage development in Sligo, and there are projects in development in Mayo as well. So, you know, it's certainly not exclusive to the southeast. Look, there are hotspots around the country for solar farm development. County Meath, you know, Offaly, Cork at one stage would have been a hotspot. Wexford will become a hotspot, and that's for a number of reasons, such as obviously the sunnier areas, the more interception of sunshine, the higher the return, the higher the yield, but also grid connection and grid availability is a big one. And up in my part of the world, in Donegal, that's actually the biggest constraint to solar and to wind. It's just we have a really congested electricity grid. So, but I suppose that's the large scale commercial developer. But we do also delve into a scheme which is supposed to be out at this stage, to be honest with you, but we expect it to be here this year. It's called ESTRES, the Small Scale Renewable Electricity Support Scheme, and it is designed to allow farmers or businesses or whoever to develop smaller but still commercial solar farms or a wind turbine or maybe a rooftop export project. So this scheme, we think, is going to provide a new, I suppose, opportunity for farmers who are interested in developing a commercial renewable electricity project to find that avenue to making it happen. We run through the numbers of a rooftop solar PV example throughout in the roadshow. But this is only geared for export, so it's a 100 kilowatt system. And we kind of run through how it would look in this particular scheme. a bit of a warning. The economics are not overly favourable, but you know that's a small system, so you'd have to go considerably larger. But still, you know, we're still chatting about you know, maybe a number of farmers coming together to do this, or a community group coming together to do this. This new scheme that's coming out, it is designed to allow you to do that. So, look, there will be opportunities there.
Lovely stuff. You might just give us the details, so, of when and where, Stephen?
Yeah, so our final Renewables Roadshow event is coming to Athlone next week. We're going to the Athlone Springs Hotel next Tuesday the 30th. Doors open from 6:30 and we're kicking off at 7:30 sharp. Preferably, we would ask you to pre-register on the Farmers Journal website, so www.ifja.ie/renewables. But if you don't, you can still come on the night. It's no problem. Completely free to attend. We'll all be there. There'll be tea and coffee for whenever you arrive and afterwards. And yeah, I'd love to see you all there.
Brilliant stuff, Stephen. We wish you the best with it, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much, Declan. All the best.
All the best. Stephen Robb, their renewables editor with the Farmers Journal, and a great opportunity there to get a lot of information on a subject that's coming more and more to the fore. So for anyone interested, at Lone Springs next Tuesday night. We're heading over to our Chagas piece now, and Tom Kelly speaks to Enda Gagan with all the details of the newly announced sheep welfare scheme.
Earlier today, I spoke to Tom Kelly, Chagas Ballina, on the new sheep, National Sheep Welfare Scheme. And it's opening now. It's an €8 per ewe scheme. Tom, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Inda.
I suppose, Tom, look at the first thing there. How do people qualify for the scheme?
Okay, and they have to have an active herd number there with the Department of Agriculture. They have to be farming a holding in respect of which a valid BIS application, you know, the Area 8 application, is submitted to the Department within the required application period. That's the 15th of May this year. And they have to submit a national sheep census by the 14th of February. So look at the sheep census is a legal requirement there that farmers count their sheep there the 31st of December, and they declare the number there to the department. And that's very important for, you know, the headage payments, the ANC, and for a lot of other schemes. So they need to do all those three things to qualify for the scheme.
And I suppose, Tom, the question that will be on everyone's lips is how much is out of it?
Okay, so there's a bit of confusion. Some people are talking about the €12 per ewe scheme, but that's a separate scheme that farmers applied for last year, and that's continuing this year. So this is a standalone scheme, and it's running from January 1st this year to the 31st of December 2024. But farmers must remember that they have to complete the actions by October the 15th, 2024. And look, at the reason for that is to get the payments out there before the Christmas, and the payments were told that they intend to make those payments in November for this separate standalone scheme of €8 per ewe.
So it's different from the sheep improvement scheme, Tom. It's a standalone scheme that has nothing to do with the sheep improvement scheme.
Yep, that's correct, Inda. So look, at farmers need to be familiar with the requirements of that scheme as well. Make sure if they're in for a ram that they buy these, you know, recorded rams in that in the required year, and you know, make sure they meet all the requirements, because there will be inspections on these schemes, of course.
And coming back to this scheme that we're talking about now, the sheep welfare scheme, what is the actions that's on the sheep welfare scheme there, Tom?
Okay, so look, at the actions are fairly straightforward. In the, you have to have a Category A and a Category B action. And the Category A actions are shearing. And look, at the vast majority of sheep farmers are shearing their flocks annually. That's one Category A action. And the second one is body condition scoring ewes and appropriate follow-on management. In other words, identifying very thin ewes in your flock and maybe taking them out for a bit of extra feeding. And hopefully there'll be benefits accruing there in terms of better performance and maybe more lambs sold. You know, the ewes will be more prolific in that. So look, at the vast majority of farmers, there will be going with the shearing action. And It's important, I suppose, to have the shearing done by the 15th of October and look at that they have some receipts to show that the shearing has been done, either a receipt from a shearing contractor, which might be difficult in some cases, or evidence of sale of the wool to a wool merchant. So look at, if you're not selling the wool and you have no receipt, well, you know, it could be difficult to prove that, you know, you're qualifying for that action. So just to be careful on that. So the body condition scoring then, has to be done twice during the year, and as I said, to make a record of the, you know, the condition you find your yours in there, and to be done twice, first between April 15th and July 15th, and secondly between August the 1st and October the 15th, coming up to the breeding season. So it's all your breeding yours, you just run through them, and there's no machinery or no investment in this. You run them through the race and you assess your yaws. It's not going to cost you any big money there. So the category B actions then are plunge dipping or vaccination of yaws against clostridial diseases. So look at, a lot of farmers are vaccinating their yaws already. These clostridial diseases, the likes of pulpy kidney and tetanus, black leg, most sheep farmers are familiar with them. So certainly the clostridial vaccination is something that will be recommended. And again, that has to be done by October the 15th. And the plunge dipping finally there, sheep scab is becoming a bit more of a problem, I suppose. And, you know, there's nothing better to control it than the plunge dipping. So again, the department are advising farmers to, you know, to do that where necessary, and it'll qualify as an action. And just one query there that came in from a listener there was, you know, could he dip them in a neighbour's or in a brother's dipping facilities? Well, really, I suppose the answer is no, that either you have your own facilities or you can use the services of a dipping contractor. That's the story on those category B actions.
Okay, thanks very much, Tom. I suppose, look, it'll be very important for people to keep receipts and just to keep a recording of all these actions as they take place.
Yes, so it's a one-year scheme, and as I said, you know, just to get it done by the 15th of October, just, you know, some of the farming organisations have came out just to say that, you know, they wanted it extended, that it's impractical for the hill sheep farmers, that their flocks are still out grazing on the hills. But, you know, from the department's point of view, they want to get the payments made before Christmas and, you know, get the actions done before the 15th of October, get a few inspections done and get the payments out.
Okay, that's great, Tom. Thanks very much for that. And indeed, we'll hand you back over there to Declan in the studio.
And thanks very much to Enda and Tom for that one. A couple of questions just before we go. Declan, when is the Recycling Bring Centre in Ballina for recycling? So that's Ballina Mart, Friday the 10th of May from 9 to 5 for that one. Is there anyone in the Ballina area that does farm fencing? If you want to maybe just let us know here at the station, and we could pass on that number if there's someone there on that one. Someone is selling forestry and the ground along with it. Will it affect the entitlement? So I think I probably need more detail on that one, but if you're selling all, then you must have other land with entitlements on it. So if you're selling just the forestry land, it won't affect the land you keep. If it's farmland with entitlements, it won't affect you on that one. There we have to leave it, I'm afraid, folks. Thanks very much for listening tonight. The Listen Back feature is available, as we said last week, on the website, and also the podcast will be out first thing in the morning wherever you get your podcasts. So from me, Declan Maron, Ihawai.
Farming Matters with Arda Agri Services, where you can find a full range of feeding equipment, diet feeders, straw blowers, bale shears, bale splitters, shear grabs, bale handlers, and class telehandlers. Call 096-72803.
Mo rehin de wadr in ye a quairach. Near de wadr an milan. Mo unseen de wadr trade. Explore a quairach agus uan. Ní de wadr an milan. Come a god day in shiv. Quinnig smacht the water igoni. Mar kibbe rodayenin sheed. Ni erhu one melon. Is Urtsa a thought unlocked. Is tusa atá fragric as the wadra, tilla olas o gov.ie /madri. Oh, Realtis Nahara.
Dockstar Pro offers a long-term solution to your dock problem. Dockstar Pro kills from the root up while maintaining grass safety to both grazing and silage swords. Available at your local Homeland store or online at homeland.ie. For long-lasting dock control, it has to be Dockstar Pro.
Talk Our Language on Midwest Radio. This is where you can learn some phrases to help to have a conversation with people of different nationalities. This week, we're going to be learning some Urdu, the official native language of Pakistan. Helping us to learn Urdu today is Usman. Today's phrase in English is, what is your favourite song? Here is Usman with how you say, what is your favourite song in Urdu?
Aapka pasandida gana kaun sa hai?
Let's hear it again.
Aapka pasandida gana kaun sa hai?
One more time.
Aapka pasandida gana kaun sa hai?
Join us throughout the week where you can learn to speak in somebody else's native tongue. Talk Our Language on Midwest Radio in association with Commission Amman and funded through the Sound and Vision Scheme.
The time is 11 o'clock.
Midwest Radio's top of the hour with Remind Supplements, a unique blend of carotenoids and omega-3s for